First Timothy chapter 3, we began looking this morning at this statement in verse 15, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And I hope that that was a help to you this morning, maybe just a good encouragement to keep attending Spring City Baptist Church as the center of your life and as a main fixture in your life, the structure of your life. Amen. I mentioned that in the final prayer this morning. You know, so many of us, this place, what happens here structures the rest of the week. I mean, Sunday, we're here. Wednesday night, we're here. Tuesday night, every other week, you're at the publishing room. Thursday afternoons, we're on the street corner. And special meetings and things, and it just, we end up, or at least I do, I don't know about you, but I end up moving things around church and the ministry. And I think that's what God wants it to be. I think He wants us to have a priority in our lives and to be that pillar of truth in our lives. And so tonight, we're going to look at this phrase, the ground of the truth. And I trust it'll be a help to you. I told my wife it's maybe going to be a little bit of a stretch to make the application, but I trust the Lord will help us with that tonight. So let's pray. We'll ask the Lord to guide us and direct us. And we'll dive right in. Father, thank you again for a beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for the rain that you've sent already and it's coming our way. We do pray, Lord, it not be too destructive tonight and that you'd help us as we sit under the preaching of your word. Lord, our bodies are so tired. Lord, our minds are so weary. Lord, the spirit might be willing, but our flesh is absolutely weak tonight. And Lord, I am no exception to that, and I pray for your strength and for your sufficiency, and Lord, that you'd help our church folks to put all the cares of life and all the busyness of the week and what's going to happen, Lord, just put it out of our minds. Let us focus on you for the next few moments. I pray you'll help our church here at Spring City to resemble this pillar and ground of the truth, and Lord, that we would do our job to help uphold and bear and propagate the truth in these last days. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so one of the definitions we looked at this morning, that middle definition of the word pillar, had it defined as a foundation or as a support. And that's true. A pillar does support what we call a superstructure, what's built on top of it. And the foundation supports what's built on top of it. But men like Brother Mark and Brother Adam and some of you others that have built things and you're familiar with the construction process, you know you can have a solid foundation, and if it doesn't sit on good ground, it's going to come down. Many times in my work, we will have a geotechnical engineer come out and do soil borings on footings to make sure that soil has what's called bearing capacity. The last thing you want to do is build a $500,000 house on a piece of ground that's going to slide off the hill. It doesn't matter how good the foundation is, if the ground that foundation sits on is not good, then the foundation will fail and the building will fail. And so the ground is critical. The ground is crucial. And tonight we see that the church of the living God is not just the pillar of truth, it's the ground of the truth. We could look at this two ways tonight. We'll look at it, the ground in terms of construction, and then we'll look at the ground in terms of propagation. In both instances, the quality of the ground is paramount. And so you're familiar with this. If we come back over to Matthew chapter 7, come back over there with me. Matthew chapter 7, we looked at this parable this morning about the wise man and the foolish man and which ground they were building their house upon. And I'll even submit to you, and I agree with everything that's been said by good men about this passage, that building upon the rock is Jesus Christ, and that's paramount for our lives, for the success of our lives. I'll get it out. If I just slur it all together, y'all don't understand it, right? Tired ears understand a tired tongue. Anyway, building on that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you make it out of this world into eternity, is to be built upon Jesus Christ. But as I just said, the foundation of a building can be, you can take the exact same building, the exact same foundation, and put it on sandy soil versus a rock, And it doesn't matter how good that foundation is, if the soil underneath it, the ground underneath it is not solid, it's coming down. And so this idea of the ground, I want you to see here in Matthew 7, the Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock." And then verse 26, "Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not," there's the truth, amen, "shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." And so really and truly, there's not, in this passage, there's not anything wrong with the structure. What these guys built was structurally sound, let's say. What they built was to code. Amen. The building inspector came by and signed off on it. But the foolish man, the ground under his house, the ground under his life was wishy-washy. It was sand. It was easily moved. It had no structural capacity, no bearing capacity. But the foolish man said, if I'm going to put all this money into this house, I'm going to make sure that the ground is good that I build it on. And really, that's the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. When we choose the Lord Jesus Christ, we're building upon the right ground. We're building upon the truth, amen. And that ground will bear and it will hold and it will stay and it will keep that structure where it's supposed to be. But when we say, no, I'm not going to do what Jesus says to do, when someone says, I'm going to do my own thing, build my life upon my own ground where I think it's nice, that's going to be sandy and the ground is not going to bear that structure. And so I think maybe you understand when we're talking about this ground, we're not necessarily talking about the dirt in Russell County. We're talking about what's in our heart. It's the ground, the spiritual ground of our heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And most certainly that would be the ground upon which the Lord is talking about over in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Matthew chapter 7. The parable of the sower. You're familiar with that. Let me go ahead and introduce that and then we'll keep going. The parable of the sower. You're familiar with that. And it's the incorruptible seed of the Word of God being sown, right? But there's four types of ground. You've got the wayside, you've got the stony places, you've got the thorn thicket, amen, and then you got the good ground. And I've said this before, and you've heard other men say this, that there's nothing wrong with the seed. It's the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It's perfect. There's nothing wrong with God's Word. It's the type of ground that it falls on that determines what sort of fruit and what sort of produce and what sort of propagation happens from the Word of God going forward. And so, again, that ground, Jesus likens that. That's the heart of man, right? It's the heart of women and kids all over the world. And when the Word of God finds good ground, it springs forth and it brings forth much fruit. But all those other types of ground, that hard ground, that wayside where they're not interested in the heart, and that stony ground where they get offended when something happens for the Word's sake, or that thorny ground that's just choked out with the cares of life, that's all in the heart. It's all in the heart. And so both instances are referring to our heart, the spiritual ground. And I think you'd agree with me tonight that whatever the pillar's function is, whether it's a support or it's a monument or it's a breakwater that we talked about this morning, whatever the pillar's function is, the ground underneath that pillar is critical. It's critical. And so I've talked a little bit about this bearing capacity. It's the composition of the ground to support the weight of what's being built on top of it. And obviously the church then is to bear. It is our job as the church of the living God to bear the truth of God, to hold it up, to make it firm and make it stand, if you will, to a world that's not interested in truth. Jesus prayed to the Father, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And you know, I've said this before about evangelization. If the church doesn't witness for Jesus Christ, who in the world is going to do it? And if the church doesn't uphold and bear the weight, if you will, of the truth of God's word, who in the world is going to do it? The Democrats won't do it. The Republicans won't do it. The town council's not going to do it, right? I mean, the Red Cross probably not going to do it now. Okay, the NBA is certainly not going to do it. You get the point, okay? It's the church's. So if the church is the pillar of the truth and supposed to support and structure that, then the ground of the truth is also applicable to the church, because the ground helps hold the pillar up. And that bearing capacity and the church bearing the truth. Obviously, I think you understand this, obviously the church must rely upon God's strength and God's power to do that job. We're not sufficient in and of ourselves to do that. But the ground of our heart has got to be receptive to God's word as the church of the living God in order for us to bear and hold up the truth of God's word. Brother Brent asked me while he was here, he said, I'm just curious. That's never a good thing when he starts like that. He said, I'm just curious. He said, do you remember any of the preachers that came through Spring City when you were a young man growing up here, or any messages that stuck out to you? And I'm sort of ashamed to say and sorry to say that I didn't remember a tremendous amount of special speakers. I did tell him of a handful of instances that I remembered with great detail. And some of them were him preaching in the pulpit. Some others were him just one-on-one. And I'm grateful for those. And they were, as Brother Mike talked about, those were defining moments. They helped guide and direct and shape me. And I told him, I said, but one of the saddest ones. And he said, I don't know if I want to hear that. I said, no. I said, one of the saddest ones was going home with some of the families from the church, or going to a birthday party or whatever it might be. And you've heard me talk about this before, but getting into their house and the father and the mother would just run down Brother Logan and talk about how silly he was and just how dumb that standard is and all this kind of stuff. And I'm telling you what, the problem was their heart, the ground of their heart was not receptive to that truth. And so they're not going to hold it up and promote it and bear it to the world. They're going to let that just go right out the door. And oh, it was so sad. And I could tell that it hurt his feelings. And why would it not? I mean, it happens to every pastor. But I think that's a good example of what we're talking about here. We must rely upon God's strength. We must rely upon God's power. We're not sufficient in ourselves. And the ground of our heart has to be receptive to that truth in order to help bear it up. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10. You don't have to turn over there, but Nehemiah 4:10. Judah says, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. And boy, when that happens, and that's all a heart. That's all a heart condition. And when that happens, we'll just no longer want to bear that truth. We'll no longer want to bear that burden that God wants to get out there. You know, I appreciated what Brother Logan pointed out about those minor prophets, and so many of them, it was the burden of. And it is a burden. Sometimes when I come in here to preach a message, knowing it's God's truth, knowing you got Bible on it, knowing it's directed by God, and you think, Lord, anything but that message. Lord, anything, but that's going to hurt, Lord. And God says, I need you to do it. I need you to bear that truth. The church of the living God is the ground of the truth, and it helps bear it up. The next point I want to make about the ground and construction, and we'll move on to propagation concerning the ground, is around here, and again, these guys in construction, they'll know this, but around here, if you put footings in for a house or a porch or whatever it is, you want a solid structure. You are to put a foundation that goes down below what we call the frost depth. Meaning, there's a certain depth of soil in Russell County, Virginia, that in the coldest of cold winters, the ground will freeze and contract down to a certain depth. And around here, it's 24 inches is the frost depth. And so, every construction detail that I draw and every house footing that goes in, every deck pier that goes in, if you want that thing to stay where it's at, you've got to have that foundation down below the frost depth. And so I'll draw my details. The top of the footing is at 24 inches minimum. And what that does is it gets you down to where the soil doesn't move as much during the freeze-thaw cycles. And I'm bringing all that out because, boy, in our lives, our spiritual lives, we go through some hot times, don't we? I'd say the last 2 weeks in spiritual temperature was pretty hot. That's pretty good, amen? And before long, it'll cool off. Hopefully not too soon. But something will happen in your life. A situation will occur. Maybe just because of the cares of life, we just sort of cool off from the Lord and we cool off spiritually. And, you know, if we're not careful, we'll end up cold on God. And that movement, that freeze thaw can really change and move people around in wild ways, in ways they didn't predict. And so the point of all this is we want the truth of God's word, not just in our heart, we want it deep in there. We want it below the frost depth. And Jesus taught this in Matthew 24:12. He says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Well, that's in the heart, right? That's a heart condition. Their love waxes cold for God because it got the iniquity of the world and the things that have happened to them just turned them cold against God or turned them off. And God helped Spring City Baptist Church to have that truth so deep in there, the cold doesn't affect it. One night in Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart. Amen. That I might not sin against thee. I hide it in there. Just get it in there deep. Amen. Get it below that frost depth. And that truth, the ground of the truth. God help the truth to get deep into our hearts so it's not affected by the freeze thaw of the spiritual world. All right. So that's some thoughts on the ground of truth with regards to construction. Let's switch over here to propagation. Come with me, Jeremiah chapter 4. How many of you putting a garden out this year? Hey, amen. Levi's got 14 miles of taters out there at his house, ready to go. How much did you put out?
It's 300 pounds.
300 pounds? I have no, what's that equate to in length of rows? 1,300 feet of tater rows. Amen. And he won't let me buy a bushel off of him. I figured that out. He'll give it to me, but he won't let me buy it from him. I'm trying to help this man out. Amen. Anyway, that's a lot. Amen. And so Levi, when he did that, he didn't just go out in the field and plop taters in the ground. He didn't just go out there and drop them on top of the ground. He didn't go out there and take a shovel and sort of half-heartedly dig a hole and put a tater in it. No, he took a piece of equipment and he plowed that row and probably tillered the row, if I had to guess, and prepared that ground to put the taters in it so they got the best chance in the world to survive and grow and make him some money. Making money, amen. And any farmer knows, any gardener knows, as that ground has sat in that garden over the winter time, it becomes what they call fallow. And it's uncultivated, it's hard, it may have some weeds that have germinated in it that you don't want in that garden or in that row. And so the fallow ground has to be broken up, and you're familiar with the Lord telling the nation of Israel that. He told them that twice here in Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 3 and also over in Hosea chapter 10 verse 12. But if you look with me in Jeremiah 4, let's begin reading in verse 1. Jeremiah 4, verse 1. God tells Israel, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Now that sowing not among thorns is such an important, man, I tell you, God's so smart. He's just so smart. It's a really important phrase in there because the definition for the word fallow, untilled, unsown, we've talked about that. Sometimes the word fallow can mean neglected. We'll get to that in just a minute. But the word fallow also indicates that that field or that ground is full of weeds. It's not that nothing has grown there. It's just the wrong things have grown there. It's not that the ground didn't produce something. It just didn't produce the right thing. It's not that the ground is just totally barren. No, it's covered. It's grown something. But what it's grown is unprofitable. And so God says to break up that fallow ground. Come with me to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24. This is always a vivid picture in my mind. And God help this not to be our Christian life. Amen. Proverbs chapter 24. If you'll begin reading with me in verse 30, Proverbs 24 and verse 30, the Bible says, I went by the field of the slothful. You know what a sloth is, right? That's an animal that doesn't move very fast. He doesn't get much done. He's totally a waste of air. I had a classmate at Virginia Tech. He used that phrase all the time. He'd go on spring break. I said, man, what are you going to do? He always went to the beach on spring break. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to be a waste of air. Anyway, don't do that. Went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Obviously, the man that owns this property is lazy. He doesn't care about cultivating it. He has no initiative. He has no industriousness to him. He's just going to let it sit there and exist. And the Bible says, lo, verse 31, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And, of course, we can make all kinds of spiritual application of this. You and I in our spiritual lives, around our heart, amen, in our minds, we need to have a wall. And it helps if it's a stone wall made by Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. And so that wall is a wall of protection. It keeps things out. It keeps the right things in. Okay, keeps the bad things out. Keeps the right things in. And the wall's broken down here. And there's no distinction. There's no delineation. There's no separation. And I know you're sick and tired of me preaching on that, so I'm not going to beat you over the head with it tonight. But you get the understanding. You get the application there. And the Bible says that the field that was fallow had been covered with nettles and thorns. And the reality is, in our Christian lives, church, we have to weed the ground of our hearts from time to time. You've got to break that fallow ground up. You've got to get whatever weeds and things of this world and thorns of this world and cares of this life that are just choking out the Word of God. You've got to get that stuff cut down and pulled out and plowed under and get it out of there. Amen. So that the ground of your heart can bear the truth and it can rejoice in the truth and it can propagate the truth. And he says here, verse 32, I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it, received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. You know, that's all it takes in the Christian heart and in the spiritual heart to start causing problems. Just don't do something for a long time. Don't read your Bible for a week. Some weeds going to start growing. Don't come to church for a month. Some weeds will start growing. Don't pray for a week and some weeds are going to start growing. Don't witness for a year and some weeds will start growing. You understand? And you just got to get it plowed out. You got to get it broken up. You just got to get all those weeds plowed under and taken out of there. And he says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and I want as an armed man. So a beautiful picture there of breaking up or what fallow ground causes and how it needs to be broken up and just being idle and what it causes in our lives. So the word fallow really is usually used as an adjective. But this is one of the things I like about using the dictionary to look up these words is sometimes a word can be an adjective, sometimes it can be a noun. Sometimes it can be a verb. Sometimes it can be an adverb. Some of you haven't heard those words since high school. I'm kidding. I would try to explain to you what they all are, but I didn't pay attention in high school. So anyway. No, I'm kidding. So usually fallow is the adjective that describes the ground. Okay. It's not been worked. It's unsown. It's untilled. It's neglected. It's full of weeds. But the word fallow can also be a verb. And I kind of like this because the verb of fallow is what needs to be done. And so the verb fallow means to plow or to break up for a purpose. Now get this. It's to break up the ground for the purpose of destroying the weeds. So instead of going out there and spraying brush killer on it all, those farmers take that disc and go through there and just plow that thing up. And there those weeds go out of there. And so this word fallow can also mean the plowing, the verb, the action of breaking up the ground for the purpose of destroying the weeds. And you're familiar with the parable of the sower, where the cares of life and riches and deceitfulness are like thorns and weeds, and they choke the word. And of course, we can make that application to the truth. So for the church to be the ground of the truth, we've got to have God's strength and God's power to have the bearing capacity, amen, to hold that truth up to the world and to proclaim it. Because nobody else is going to do it. But then also the church, to be the ground of the truth, the church is going to have a tender heart toward God's truth. In other words, the truth of God's word has got to get in our heart and bring forth much fruit. Because then when people look at you and I, they say, man, God's word was right. Look at that church over there. They're obeying the word of God. Whether they know it's the truth or not, it doesn't matter. They're obeying the word of God. Look how much better their life is. And listen, we understand it's the grace of God. But God honors those that honor his word. God honors those that obey his word. Well, I would sound really conceited if I said that. You know, let's say there ought to be a difference between your family and the run-of-the-mill family in the world. And the difference ought to be evident that you have let the truth of God's word get into the ground of your heart, and it made a difference. The truth got propagated in your heart. The truth got propagated in my heart. Listen, God's grace is wonderful. God's mercy is wonderful. But I really believe this. If you and I will obey what God says to do with the right kind of heart, it will be so obvious to this world we're not of this world. And so we've got to take heed to our heart's ground. Is it ready to receive the truth? This is part of that, preparing your heart to seek the Lord every time you come into the church. If the church is going to be the pillar and the ground of the truth, the ground of our heart's got to be receptive to that truth, and we've got to have our heart plowed and prepared so that the truth can be deeply rooted in that good ground and bring forth much fruit to the glory of God Almighty. The church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. May that be Spring City Baptist Church. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for the night. Lord, thank you for the